Hey, my name is Kevin Clark. I'm the host of a new football podcast called Slow News Day. I want to tell you about it. On Mondays, Lindsey Jones and I will recap the weekend in football that was, as well as look ahead to what's next. On Wednesday, the normal Slow News Day, the thing you've been watching for years, current players, current coaches, current analysts talking about the football world. And on Friday, a wild card. Could be some college football, could be more pro stuff. It's a video podcast, so you can watch it on Spotify or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. Follow on Spotify. It's Slow News.
It's the Ringers Philly special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Hello and welcome to the Ringers Philly special. I am Chris Ryan. I'm joined as always by Raheem Palmer. It's the Sixers show. Raheem, how are you doing, man, after the night that could have been the Super Bowl of the regular season and really wasn't much about anything?
Me personally, I'm doing great, but you know, as far as my Sixers fandom and my Embiid fandom, I'm very disappointed. Like I cannot explain my disappointment.
Oh, gosh. All right, let's break this down. So here's the state of the Sixers. They're 49-26. They're third in the East. They're losers of three straight. Still have the fourth best offense, seventh best defense in the NBA. And on Monday night, the end of this road trip on the West Coast and on the Western United States, it was the game that we had all been waiting for, man. After weeks and months of hype, the two leading candidates for the MVP award, an award that has spawned a debate that is almost like subsumed the NBA season in a lot of ways. There's much more talk about who's going to win the MVP than who's going to win the finals. And we're supposed to get Jokic and Embiid on Monday night. It's the return match. They had played earlier in the season and Embiid had one of his standout games against Jokic in Philly. This was going to be in Denver. Joel Embiid winds up playing something like 70, 80 minutes over the course of a back-to-back against Golden State and Phoenix. Sunday is the day off, and before this national game, it's going to be on NBA TV on Monday night. There are no tournament games, no men's tournament games at least, so it's going to be like kind of a big focal point game. And you and me, Raheem, we've been talking about this for weeks, like, oh, this is going to be a loser leaves town. This is going to be this amazing, like, you know, litmus test of where we're at and what Joel can do against one of the best players in the league. And Joel doesn't play because of calf tightness. What was your initial reaction when you saw Woj tweet out that Joel was out for tonight?
Okay, so there's two things with this. I was like angry, but at the same time, I knew that he should not play that game. My problem is why in the world, you know, you had a calf injury in the Bulls game where you could not finish the game.
Didn't
you
come back
the game
out
in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you playing a Friday, Saturday back-to-back against two West Coast teams? That was, like, infuriating to me. So it's just like, hey, look, if you're legitimately injured, that's fine. But you should not be playing a back-to-back. And to me, I'm more frustrated with the Sixers' inability to properly load manage him. Because to me, like, why are you playing that back-to-back? Load manage him either against Golden State or load manage him against Phoenix or load manage him both. Give him, you know, ample time to rest his calf, but he has to play that Nuggets game. He has to. You can't like go balls to the wall and you can't go all out and tell Draymond, hey, look, I took it personally that, you know, you said Jokic was the most dangerous offensive player. You go hard against Kevin Looney and Bismack Biyombo. And then when Jokic is here, you cut this wrestling promo with The Athletic and then don't play. You can't do that.
This is the context Raheem's talking about here is that before Woj announced that Joel would be sitting out on Monday night or that the Sixers were holding him out or that he was injured, however you want to read between the lines there, there was a Shams piece in The Athletic that's a Q&A with Embiid that has, I think it's safe to say, some thinly veiled shots at Jokic and the analytics community's championing of Jokic as an MVP, and goes into a lot of stuff about how Embiid thinks that everybody sees him as the bad guy and the villain and like this weird perception he has of himself as like a wrestling heel, but also really like makes the case that like this was the year that he was sort of putting the MVP race out of his mind while also making his case for the MVP, which is like, I'm basically a defensive player of the year candidate every year. And even if analytics say that Jokic is good at defense, like he's not really. So you've got that whole thing propping this up. On top of it, the last couple of weeks, as anybody on any side of this debate or just a casual observer of it will tell you, is that this has sucked. We've now taken like this thing that when we were kids, we used to start talking about maybe in April of who's going to win MVP. And it really had nothing to do with the season. I mean, obviously, it means a lot to the players and certain fan bases. And it was great when Iverson won. And I'm not denying that. And like, it's interesting to talk about in theory, but we've gone from this being kind of an afterthought in a regular season to you start talking about it in pretty much late October, November. There's MVP ladders and straw polls and constant discussion of it. And then on a night to night basis, you've basically got who of these guys is like currently the betting favorite, who's currently in the lead, who does the media have? Are Philly fans unhinged and like poisoning the debate? Are Denver Jokic stands poisoning the debate? All this stuff. Now we get the worst of both worlds because we had to live through that whole stupid debate and we didn't get the Super Bowl. It's like, it would be like waiting 2 weeks for the Super Bowl game and then being like, the Super Bowl will not be broadcast tonight. So like they couldn't even turn this into the spectacle that it deserved to be turned into.
Yeah, it's unreal. Like, I mean, and for me, it's like they had the opportunity to make it happen. All you got to do is load manage MV. Don't play him on a back-to-back. If he's hurt, why is he playing back-to-backs? And, you know, it's possible that he could have, you know, re-aggravated things in Phoenix. But there's no reason that, you know, Doc Rivers said in his press conference right after the Bulls game, you hear calf and we just take him out of the game. The first priority is to be healthy. If his first priority is to be healthy, why are you playing back-to-backs with 7 games left in the season? That, like, was infuriating. And then to follow it up by not having him play against Jokic, I just, honestly, I am a Sixers fan. I'm a Joel Embiid fan. If he lost the MVP, I wouldn't even care anymore.
Right.
Because I think it was that bad. It just looks that bad when you combine it with the Athletic article. It looks that bad.
So when asked about Harden and Embiid being out, Doc said, and I quote, yeah, they're not 100%. It's not worth the risk. This is not even rocket science. If this was a playoff game, everyone plays, you know? So yeah, this is not difficult. This is not us sitting in a room flipping a coin. These are very easy decisions for us. Fair enough. Fair enough. I would argue that the Denver game, in the grand scheme of things, is about as close to a playoff game as you can get in the regular season when you think about the importance it has. And the Phoenix game means nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. And that's my problem. Like, you know, if these were East Coast teams that they were playing on the back-to-back, you know, let's just say that they were playing, you know, Miami or, you know, Boston.
The Wizards or whatever,
Yeah, the Wizards. I say, you know what? Play the back-to-back. Those games are, like, going to impact our seeding. You know, I mean, now granted, you know, you still need those wins to pass Boston in the two seed. But a roll back-to-back against two West Coast teams? Come on, man. After Embiid's calf injury? No. I can't co-sign it. And I don't think Embiid was ducking. I just think, you know, the one thing, you know, Nate Jones on Twitter has consistently said is that a lot of guys want to play, but the analytics departments are saying, you know, there's a certain allotment of minutes. There's a certain time period where you can't play X amount of games in a row.
Yeah. And I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
I mean, you see it with Jamal Murray, you see it with KD, where you're like, I wonder if those 41 minute games that you've been racking up, whatever it is like led to that injury or this injury. I completely get it.
I can tell you this right now. If Allen Iverson was in the MVP race against, let's say, Kobe Bryant or Vince Carter, and they were meeting head to head, and the Sixers medical staff told him he couldn't play, he would have had Crew Thick kidnap Larry Brown.
Dude.
Like,
can you imagine AI, like, where do you think load management would be on the list of things that they needed to discuss with AI?
it just wouldn't have happened. Like, Allen Iverson is playing that game.
I think my thing about this is that as a Philadelphia fan, it may not be rational, but you know the games that matter to you. Boston, yeah. The Bucks, the Heat, the Lakers, the Knicks. Like, there are games that have, whether they're historical relevance in terms of like franchise versus franchise rivalries, whether they're more recent rivalries like the Heat, whether it's just like kind of psychological warfare like it is with Boston. And you know, you want to test yourself against the Bucks, the best team in the league, probably. All those games, like, you would just be like, why? Like, I just want, let's create a world in which our best players are available for the biggest games. And I think that the NFL does this really well, where it's like Thursday nights and you're watching like the Texans and the Browns and you're like, what am I doing with my life? But that kind of gets hidden when it's Sunday night football, when it's Monday night football, when it's the 4 o'clock game on Sunday. More often than not, you feel like you're watching the big guns, the really big important players going head to head. And the NBA just cannot seem to wrap its arms around this problem. And I don't know whether it's a load management problem or if it's a league-wide, you know, like, what are the things that these guys need to do to make sure that they can be ready for a national TV game, because that's where the most people are going to be exposed to our product. But we're talking about a team in Denver that leads the Western Conference that most people in Denver can't even watch on TV. And you're talking about two guys who are nominally faces of the league, and they play twice a year, and there's seven games left, and the MVP race is dead even, and they're both going to the playoffs, and they both have finals aspirations, and this gets screwed up because Embiid plays a bunch on a back-to-back, and it's just bad management. It's bad product management as like the NBA, and like, I'm sure something will come out, like Embiid was fine, and then he stepped wrong, and it tweaked it, or they got like a scan, or some guy was like, yeah, you know, it was like, if he goes here, he'll be in the red, and we've only got seven games left. I get all the reasoning, but it's just like, you robbed everybody of the regular season. They're going to turn into baseball if they don't figure out a way to get these regular season games to matter more.
Yeah, and you know, like, on one hand, I thought it was a load management issue. Sometimes it's a scheduling issue. But in this case, you know, this wasn't a back-to-back. I feel for Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, because they actually had to play the Nuggets on the second night of a back-to-back. You know, so, like, they were in a bad spot, and Giannis still played.
Yeah.
You know, the Sixers actually had a day off in between. Now they're playing 3 and 4, but, you know, they had a day off, and you could have given Embiid multiple days off. You could have gave him off from Wednesday to Saturday. Or you could have just you could have had him play Friday and then given him off the entire weekend. So to me, this is just the Sixers saying, look, Embiid has already put up 47 and 15 on Jokic. He has more to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's also I understand that it's traveled to Denver in altitude, in a place where Jokic never loses, in a place where he does play really well. I don't think Embiid has historically played great, but I'd have to like go look. It just feels like anecdotal.
I mean, he hasn't played there in four seasons. He hasn't played there since 2019.
Yeah, I mean, so like, what are we talking about then? That's all fine and good. And maybe it's just like, you know what, man? We don't want our best player to go out and get vaporized tonight. You know, and that's not the best vibe to take into the end of the season, into the postseason. That's all good. Then hit up Shams and be like, man, can you wait a day or two on this interview? because that interview was a hype interview. That interview was like a walk-up interview where you're basically like, get psyched for tonight, and Embiid's talking his shit, and he's about to go play Joker. And if you're not, like, if that's not what that was, then I don't know what I'm doing in this business, but that's what I thought that was. And so I just think it's kind of like, it's kind of a joke, honestly, to do that interview and have it go up on Monday, and 10 minutes later, Woj is like, he's not playing tonight.
And then to make matters worse, Kurt Goldsberry, he actually put out a Jokic hit piece on ESPN. So it's just like, Embiid was in a position to victory.
Oh, Goldsberry.
Yeah, like Kurt. He was like literally like the media was saying, look, it's Embiid's award to lose at this point. Like it was all lined up for him. Like Embiid could have gone out there and dropped 40 in a loss without James Harden, and he probably wins the award. And you saw it reflected in the betting markets to where Embiid went from like a -150 favorite to now he's an underdog. That's how bad that looked. And I truly believe that a lot of, and Kendrick Perkins said this, I'm going to remember this. And right. I do think that might have swung the MVP race.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
And so that gets into a number of ripple effects that come out of this decision not to play Embiid. Number one of which is we get to live in the hell that is people being like, Embiid doesn't want the smoke. Embiid's ducking Jokic. And honestly, like, I'm done arguing about this. This is like such a waste of time to have been talking about this MVP race more than anything else since the fall, essentially. And now we get to this culmination and basically the air gets let out of the balloon. I don't care who wins the MVP. I don't really have like the analytical brain to tell you what stat matters more and what Jokic is better or worse than an Embiid. I just know that it sucks that these two guys didn't play. And now instead of it being, what did Embiid do against Jokic or what did Jokic do against Embiid? Regardless of who won, that told us a little bit about their games and their value to their team and the value to the league. Instead, it's going to be a lot of hypothetical hot takes about like Embiid ducking dudes. And I honestly just feel like the Sixers maybe put him in a bad spot, you know, or maybe Embiid put himself in a bad spot by going too hard against Phoenix when it's like, dude, you know what people are looking for. People don't really care about you playing against a Durantless Suns. They care about this Nuggets game. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, it's just entirely, it's so disappointing that I just, like you said, I don't care about the MVP race anymore. Like I literally do not care. Like,
and it's not like, oh, I'm gonna take my ball and go home. I'm like literally like I don't have an argument. I don't really have an argument anymore.
You know, like one of the things I read on the internet today is that, you know, this is gonna be, that was Embiid's 14th missed game of the season.
Right.
And just one player in NBA history has missed 12 plus games and still won the MVP award. And that's Bill Walton in 1977, 1978. He missed 24 games. I think people would have been willing to give Embiid that pass. I just think people wanted him to win the award. But when you miss a game like that, you give everybody pause. So
yeah,
it's very disappointing.
And it certainly takes the bite out of the argument for him. Whether or not you think that the missing one game is like a disqualifier or not, like, I doubt it. It's not. It's like, if he had sat against Phoenix, it's not like this would have changed anything. We wouldn't have been like, oh, Embiid, he's gambling with his MVP trophy here. The most important
everybody
thing,
was watching, and that's the crazy thing. Everyone was watching March Madness this weekend. Nobody even cared about his 40-point game against the Warriors.
Right.
Everybody was watching March Madness.
Right.
So it's just like you play and perform at a time where nobody cared.
And you know what? It's like, let's talk about the load management part of this, because I want to get into some of the other kind of like knock-on effects here. 7 games left in the season. Not an easy 7 games. Sixers have lost 3 in a row, and their best 2 players are holding leg injuries.
Yeah. I mean, we spoke last week about how it was the priority for this team to be healthy going into the postseason. And you have James Harden with an Achilles injury and Joel Embiid with a calf injury. And then they like, how can we even trust the Sixers medical staff? Like, how can you trust them at this point in time? I mean, James Harden's been held out, but the fact that Joel Embiid would play a back-to-back with a calf injury is just, it's absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, we have a couple weeks to the playoffs, so I do think that they're going to be healthy, but you can't trust that this medical staff is going to do the right thing.
I don't think that there's some sort of grand plan at work here where the Sixers are doing what I'm about to say that some people are saying that they're doing, but I might as well just throw it out there, which is that they are tanking to get out of the 3 seed. Currently, the Sixers have lost 3 in a row. I believe the Cavs have won 4 in a row. The Heat are going to be the 6th seed, probably. And you could make the argument that it would be, you know, that the Sixers would rather play the Knicks than they would the Heat.
I mean, that's crazy to me, too. I mean, like,
I'm just putting it out there.
Lost. I mean, that's crazy to me because, I mean, the Heat just lost to the Nets by 29.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, we don't even know if the Heat are going to make the playoffs.
Right. They might be in the play-in.
I mean, they could be a play-in team, and, you know, who knows what happens if they're in the play-in. I mean, the Heat have 2 home games left. And they're like, they've been pretty bad on the road this season. I think, what are the Heat on the road this year? They're 15-21.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen a bad team this greatly feared.
I'm not sure. I mean, I had this conversation with Bill and House and JJ in our group chat, and I'm not sure they should be feared. Like, and I asked this the other day because, you know, the Bulls are playing so well, and, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, we need to watch out for the Bulls. I think the Bulls might need to fear the Bulls a little bit more than the Heat at this point in time.
Right. I mean, I'm trying not to become a scaredy cat about this because I feel like this season has been, especially the second half of the season, has been the most in control and confident Sixers team that I've seen in a really long time. And so I'm trying not to be like, well, let's work it out so that like we don't have to see Jimmy Butler and then we get this and then we get that. Like, I think we should just like, we're going to have to play really good players in the playoffs. Joel and James are going to have to be as healthy as they possibly can because they're going to have big, big workloads. So let's not like try to like over program this. But at the same time, it's kind of weird to look at this 3-game losing streak and be like, oh, I wonder whether or not that might benefit the Sixers to kind of sputter into the playoffs a little bit. I would much rather be the Sixers team that we saw 2 weeks ago that was just kicking ass everywhere and coming back from 15 down and stuff. But, you know, I'm just saying the debate is out there. It's important to report what's the discourse is, you know?
Yeah. I just don't think we're tanking. I just can't imagine that we would tank for this Heat team. I think, you know, I think we're fully capable of exercising those Heat demons from last year. When you look at, you know, last year's team and this year's team is completely different. You know, I felt like Morey was going to need an offseason to, you know, really fortify our bench and get the role players together. And you see with guys like Melton and PJ, and we're just a much different team.
Right.
And I think they're a much worse team. So I don't see any reason this Sixers team needs to tank. We're just not healthy right now.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate.
So I guess we should, we discussed this health thing, and we discussed the idea of Harden and Embiid kind of nursing injuries going into the playoffs. I don't think they're tanking per se, but I do think that this has been a little bit of a wobble, and I hope that, look, I mean, Embiid listens to what people say. This is a dude who's obviously aware of the dialogue and the discourse surrounding his career and where he's at. So I hope that when he's feeling better, he comes out and this does not affect him. All the you're ducking this and you wanted to avoid Jokic stuff. Like, I hope he gets his head clear and that they just get into it. Let's talk about a couple of other minor Sixers things, lesser Sixers things. Number one, I just wanted to get your take. I think maybe after the regular season, we should have a conversation about the arena when we have a little bit of time to kind of discuss it. So for people who don't know, the Sixers are looking into moving from South Philadelphia to an area in downtown right next to Chinatown in Philadelphia in what used to be the Gallery Mall, right? Is that's the correct location?
Yeah.
So the Fashion District Center. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Fashion District will still be there. Or are they knocking down the Fashion District?
I'm not sure, but they're talking about moving in down on Market Street, I think, in that area. So it's been a controversial conversation in Philadelphia for a little while now. The thing I wanted to ask you about today is Sixers owner Josh Harris is apparently one of the final bidders for the Washington Commanders. So Harris, I believe, either grew up in Maryland or was born in Maryland, but followed the Sixers in high school when Dr. J was there, and hence the connection. But Harris's ownership group has been very aggressive pursuing. They went after the Broncos. They didn't get the Broncos. They're making this bid for the Commanders. They've been in the mix for some European soccer teams. But do you care at all that the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers also owns the Washington Commanders? I know you're a Cowboys fan. It doesn't really matter to you, but what do you think of that?
I mean, he also owns the New Jersey Devils too. So yeah. it kind of just feels like, you know, he's a rich guy, went to University of Pennsylvania, Wharton School of Business, graduated 86. He's a Quaker, so he's kind of, he's family over here. But at the end of the day, it's just like he's a billionaire and he's going to invest in as many teams as he wants, you know? So it's hard to really care. The only thing I care about is that he doesn't move the Sixers to Camden, right, which is, you know, one of the things that, you know, that's been talked about for quite some time. And I think, you know, if things fall through in terms of the Sixers not being able to move downtown or get an arena, you know, somewhere else other than the sports complex, I can see that happening. And that would kind of make me angry.
Pray for traffic on the Ben Franklin Bridge if that happens. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That'd be bad. Okay, we'll get more into the arena a little bit later in the month. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about a looming roster tactical situation that we've got going where Dwayne Dedmon is DOA, like this guy that we got on the buyout market as a backup five. I'm sure he's a wonderful person who brings incredible vibes to the locker room, but like, I just don't think you can play him.
Looking like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick. Yeah, he's definitely Larry Holmes status. You can't play him at all. I would rather play Montrez than him at this point.
Luckily, it does feel like Paul's got his hands around the backup 5 minutes now, though.
Yeah, I agree with that. He's not adding anything on offense or defense at this point. So, I'm with you.
I was also just going to mention, I wanted to see what your take was about Jalen McDaniels these days, because if we're going to knock Daryl for the backup five pickup, the Jalen McDaniels trade looks really good to me. I've really enjoyed my last couple weeks with him.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of got robbed yesterday on a monster defensive play, which was probably a block. And obviously Jeff Green was out of bounds. We should have had the ball down three. But I just love his energy. He's a guy that you don't have to run plays for. He's always making the cuts. And it just he could get key rebounds, key putbacks. I love his energy. I mean, he's solid defensively. I mean, we saw in that Milwaukee game, he was key in helping us win that game against Milwaukee on the road. So I think he's going to be a key piece off the bench in the postseason. especially, you know, when times when Tobias doesn't really have it going, it wouldn't surprise me if, I mean, he's a guy who is just coming in and just, you know, offering a spark. So I really like his addition. You know, it hurt to see Thybulle leave. But I mean, we have a guy who can actually play now.
I mean, it does feel like all the consequential trades that Daryl Morey has made, he won. Clearly he won Harden for Simmons. Yeah. Simmons is shut down for the rest of the season. It might be one of the worst contracts in the NBA. It's a really sad situation beyond the fact that, like, it was a trade that Daryl Morey won, obviously. Harden has, I think, evened out this team in so many ways, both obvious and subtle, and made Embiid an even more dangerous player because Embiid doesn't have to do as much playmaking and do as much ball handling as he has in the past. The Maxey thing seems to have clicked into place. Tobias is certainly overpaid for a fourth option, but is certainly a competent one. And then I think that the wings that we have now, while maybe not, with the exception of McDaniels, the most dynamite defenders in Niang and McDaniels and House, is like a really competent group of wings to help out with PJ.
I totally agree with that. I can't argue with that at all. Even his free agent additions, like, I just feel like he's pushed all the right buttons to improve this team. I just wasn't a fan of the last two regimes from what we saw from Brett Brown and Colangelo. I mean, we got Brett Brown who traded, you know, Mikal Bridges for Zaire.
Yeah.
And just Zaire just didn't give us anything. And, you know, before that, you got Colangelo who just, to me, I just didn't like what he brought to the table. So I think Daryl Morey, he took a bad situation and he turned it into, you know, James Harden at the end of the day. And he added Melton. I think Melton has probably been the best pickup that we've had. PJ's been a little rough around the edges, but I think you're going to see his value in the postseason when he has to guard, you know, the top tier players. So
yeah.
I think, I mean, like, you know, it's so funny because Daryl Morey got criticized a ton last year. And people were saying, oh, yeah, you got to make a trade. And, you know, people were saying, you know, we needed to trade him for Fox and we needed to trade him for, you know, Halliburton. And, you know, you get James Harden. So him, you know, holding on, not panicking and waiting for his guy, it got us in the position we are today. And I'm thankful for it.
It's probably the reason why we're more torqued up about these guys being a little dinged up as we get towards the end of the regular season, is that this is the best team that we've had in the Embiid era. So it's hard to see it if it's like, oh my gosh, like, are these guys carrying like soft tissue injuries and things that can get aggravated? And if Harden steps in the wrong thing, could his Achilles go? And if Embiid does something wrong, is his calf going to get hurt? And I just would hate for that to be the reason why we lost. I'd love to see a full strength Sixers team take it to the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I would love to see the same thing. I just, like you said, we just have suffered enough with injuries. Like, even if you go back to the 2019 team, Embiid was hurt in that Raptors. I mean, in fact, he was sick in that Raptors series.
Right.
What was it, game four or game five, he was sick. And I think that kind of allowed the Raptors to steal that series. We've had other times where, you know, Simmons was hurt.
Yeah.
In the bubble. We've had Embiid hurt. It's just, we've just never been fully healthy. And then even last year, James Harden wasn't James Harden. He was a guy who couldn't rehab during the offseason because of his hamstring injury, and he suffered the entire year. So it's just like, now I just want everybody to be healthy going into the postseason. Give us a fair run.
Yeah.
That's all we want.
We can wrap it up there, man, unless you had anything else you wanted to hit. We'll have more Philly sports coverage on the Ringers Philly special this week from Sheil and the gang. And an interesting rest of the season for the Sixers. Got a Mavericks game coming up. You know, I could see some volatility in the standings, but we'll have to see whether or not who's making moves. Like we were talking about with Miami, it seemed like they were on a roll, then they fell off. It seemed like Chicago's come in, but I don't know how many spots they can leap in the next couple of the next 10 days or so, or next 2 weeks. So we'll see what's going on. Raheem, thank you so much for joining me.
Ho, before we go, we got 7 games left. How many games do Joel Embiid and James Harden play?
4.
They both play four?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How many do you want them to play?
If it's going to be like this, it's four. Like, I mean, I'm not getting myself worked up for any more regular. It's not like I'm getting hyped for like Luka versus Embiid. You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. I got hyped up for Jokic versus Embiid and that was what it was. And now let me know when he's playing, you know, but we were going to podcast last night and we were just like, what's the point really? You know?
Yeah. I want to see Embiid play against Giannis. I want to see him play against Giannis and I want to see him play that Celtics game.
Yeah.
Like I need a full strength Sixers team for those games if we're healthy. But besides that, I mean, we can rest the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, I wonder whether or not once we get to those games, if Milwaukee's like fully like walked away with the one seed, like do they start resting guys, you know?
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. But I mean, we'll see next week, I guess.
Yeah. All right, Raheem, I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, no doubt.